that we meet again. I would thought maybe church is over. But anyway, I have about 35 minutes, so I won't need this page and won't need this page. Brother, if God appeared to you in a dream, and said to you, just ask what you will. What would you ask for? God was impressed with King Solomon's answer. Solomon had asked for an understanding heart to judge God's people, and that he may be able to discern between the good and the evil. You find that in 1 Kings 3, verses 6 through 9. And so this speech pleased God. In 1 Kings 3, verse 11, God said to Solomon, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for a long life for yourself, you haven't asked for riches, you haven't asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself an understanding and a discerning heart. And in verse 12, God says, I will do according to your request. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been one like you before you. And in verse 13, this is in 1 Kings 3, verse 13, and I have also given you what you have not asked for. I've given you riches and honor so that there shall not be one like you before you. And if you will walk before me and keep my statutes, my commandments, as your father David did, then I will lengthen your days and there will not be one after you. So what would you have asked for? Would you have asked for fame, riches, good health? In chapter 4 of 1 Kings 3, it talks about the organization of King Solomon's government. In chapter 5, the treaty between King Solomon and King Hiram. It says here that King Hiram really loved King David, and so he made a treaty with Solomon. Chapter 6 talks about the building of the temple by Solomon. Chapter 7 talks about all of the palaces that King Solomon had built. And then in chapter 8, it talks about how King Solomon dedicated the temple that he had built to God. And so let's pick up the story flow in chapter 9, God appeared to Solomon a second time. In verse 1, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Eternal and the king's house and all of Solomon's desires which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time as he appeared to him in Gibeon. And in verse 3, the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. And I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. This was something that God had not done before. His eyes and his heart would be there perpetually. And in verse 4, now if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, and in verse 5, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father. Verse 6, but if you are your sons at all, turn from following me and do not keep my commandments, my statutes, and serve other gods and worship them. In verse 7, then I will cut off Israel from the land. I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will be a proverb and a byword among the people. And you can go ahead and read the second half of chapter 9, where it talks about all of Solomon's accomplishments. Let's pick up the story again in chapter 10 at verse 1. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Then the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great, retinue with camels and that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all of her questions. There was nothing too difficult for the king that he could not explain to her. Verse 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seat of his servants, the servants of his waiters and the clothing that they were wearing, his cupbearers, and his entrance by which he went up to the house of the Eternal, it says that her heart dropped. There was no more spirit in her. And in verse 6, when she said to Solomon, it was true, it was a true report which I heard about your land, about your wisdom, and about your words and your wisdom. And in verse 7, however, I did not hear the words until I came and saw it for my own self. And indeed, half the story had not been told. And so the story about King Solomon was greater than what it had been told Queen of Sheba. And you can go on and read the rest of that, how King Solomon's servants were very happy, and how the queen saw that King Solomon had been blessed by God, and all of his people had been blessed, and Israel had been blessed. You're probably wondering why I'm going around the world to talk about King Solomon, but there is a point. In verse 13 of this same chapter, we see here, now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked beside what Solomon had given her, according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And the weight of gold that came to Solomon year by year was 600,000 talents. Beside that came from the traveling merchants, from the income of the traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. And in verse 16 through 22, it talks about the wealth of King Solomon. Dropping down to verse 23 of chapter 10. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And now all the earth sought the presence of King Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And every man brought his presence, articles of silver and gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, at a set rate year by year. And so we can see in all these scriptures that King Solomon was very successful as a king. In fact, there had never been one like Solomon before he became king. But how, brethren, would Solomon had fared as a Christian? How would Solomon had fared as a Christian? Today I want to give at least eight habits of a successful Christian. 8 habits of a successful Christian. And I asked the question, how would Solomon have fared? Solomon started out being obedient to God. Solomon started out loving God in God's way. And so the first habit, brethren, a successful Christian strives to love God with all the heart, with all the mind, with all the soul, and with all the strength. If we were to begin at the book of Genesis and search every scripture to Malachi, every scripture, what would be the greatest scripture? Well, Jesus Christ gives us the answer in Mark 12 and verse 28. Mark 12 and verse 28. Dr. Laura says the greatest scripture is to be fruitful and multiply. Dr. Laura loved that scripture. But Christ says here in Mark 12 and verse 28, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, answered him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus Christ answered and said, the first of all is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one. And he's quoting here from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 5. This is in Mark 12, verse 28. I'm in 29 now. 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, putting God first. Making God number one. And so of all the scriptures, Christ said that this would be the greatest of all the scriptures. How did King Solomon fare? Well, if you go back to 1 Kings 11 and begin at verse 1, you will find this. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, or as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Hittites and the Moabites. That's what I'm trying to say. Verse 2. From the nation of whom the Lord had said, the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. And surely they would turn away your heart after their gods. And it says that Solomon clung to these women in love. Verse 3, Solomon had more than 700 wives and princes and more than 3,000 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4, for it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father. And in verse 5 of 1 Kings 11, so Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Malcolm, the abomination of the Amorites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Eternal and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father. So how would Solomon have fared as a Christian? And in verse 9, we find that God became very angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord his God. Solomon was very successful, yes, brethren, as a king. But Solomon turned from keeping his covenant with God. From keeping the statutes and the judgments and the commandments. And so we, brethren, we have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Back in Mark 12, verse 31, Christ goes on to say in the second half of the scripture that we are to love our neighbor as self. So I will say that the second successful habit as a Christian would be to love our neighbor as self. The golden rule is to love others as you would have them to love you. Let's go over to Romans 13. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Paul writes that we are not to owe any man anything except to love. To love one another. But he who loves another fulfills the law. Love, again, is the outgoing concern for the well-being of others. So if we exhibit this law, then we are fulfilling this law. And the last six commandments sum up this when it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And in verse 10, love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And we see that when a person, say, rapes 8 or 10 women, molests his children, they throw them in prison, keep them there for 4 or 5 years, let them out again, then they go back and do the same thing. Because it takes the love of God to fulfill a law of love. It takes the love of God with God's Holy Spirit to fill these laws of love. And so, brethren, the third point will be a successful Christian is striving to walk as Christ walked. This was what God charged King Solomon, to walk in my ways. Let's take a look at 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. 1 John 2, verses 5 and 6. But whoever keeps his words, truly the love of God is perfected in him. If we keep Christ's words, then the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So if we say that we abide in Christ, we should be walking in the footsteps of Christ. This is not a difficult formula. To walk as Christ walked. And if we are doing this, then the scriptures say we are being perfected. Being perfected. And so the brethren, a fourth habit of a successful Christian would be to overcome and to endure until the very end. To overcome and to endure to the very end. It was written that Solomon, when he was old, turned his heart after other gods. He started out good. But you have to endure to the very end. And so Solomon did have a problem with enduring. You can read in Revelations 2, verse 7. We're not going to turn to any of these. Revelations 2, verse 7, verse 11, 17, 26, chapter 3, verse 5, 12, and 21, promises that God makes to those who overcome. Those who overcome. And in Matthew 24, verse 13, Christ says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So the fourth habit will be to overcome and to endure. A successful Christian also is striving to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To grow in grace and knowledge. And in 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. We find this written. Peter warns us to beware, lest we also fall from our own steadfastness. Now, I don't like to pick on Solomon, but he did have a problem falling from his own steadfastness. And so we are being admonished also to beware, lest we are led away with the errors of the wicked. But we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then one final point on this subject. Let's go back to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And pick up a few words from one of the songs that we sing. This is in verse 97 through 100. Verse 97 through 100. Oh, how love I your law. It's my meditation all day, all the day. You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, then I may keep your word. And so, brethren, we do gain wisdom and understanding when we walk in God's way and keep God's commandments. We do gain understanding and wisdom and grace when we walk in God's ways. And then point seven, brethren, a successful Christian is a person who continues in prayer. We find many scriptures where Jesus Christ prayed all night. And he prayed all night in many cases before he made a major decision. You'll find that before he chose the 12. Or you find that before he was crucified. Let's go over to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So not only, brethren, should we pray always, but we should also pray for one another, for the body of Christ, for those at headquarters, for our local elders, their families, deacons and deaconess. My wife says that she prays as she's going on to the on-ramp, getting on the interstate. And I should pray that myself. Sometimes it's crazy out there. But my wife says she prays as she's going on the on-ramp. And so that's praying. That's an example of praying always. And then, brethren, finally, a successful Christian is looking for the return of Christ to establish God's kingdom here on earth. A successful Christian is looking for the return of Christ to establish God's kingdom here on earth. You know, when we look at the news, it doesn't take much to look for Christ's return. Let's take a look at Titus 2, Titus 2 and verse 13, Titus 2 and verse 13. Paul writes here, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our great God and our Savior, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So, brethren, we should be looking for and praying for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Will King Solomon be in God's family? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know the answer to that. The Bible does in Hebrews 11 talk about Abraham, Isaac, Noah, Sarah, Moses, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. But Samuel's name, Solomon's name is not mentioned. And so we don't know. These all were given a good testimony through faith. They were all given a good testimony. But Solomon's name is not mentioned. In the 40th verse of that chapter, this is Hebrews 11, God having provided something better for us, talking about you and me, and all those that God has called, and those who have died in the faith throughout the years, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And so that means, brethren, that we also must remain faithful. Solomon is not mentioned. We know that God tore the kingdom from King Solomon, just as God had promised, because Solomon's heart turned from God. But guess what? King Sheba's mentioned. She's mentioned twice. Let's look at Luke 11, verse 31. Jesus Christ mentions the Queen of Sheba. Luke 11 and verse 31. The Queen of Sheba is mentioned. The Queen of the South, this is in Luke 11, verse 31, will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation, Christ says, and condemn them. Talking about the scribes and the Pharisees that was around him, will rise up in this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. And so I believe that the Queen of Sheba will be given an opportunity for eternal life, and will probably get eternal life because she will believe the teachings of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we do not know when Christ is going to return, but we've been also given a chance for eternal life now. Been given a chance for eternal life right now. Now, if you don't know how you're doing, let's do these points here. First of all, let's put God first. Second, let's love our neighbor as self. Third, let's strive to walk as Christ walked. Fourth, let's strive to keep God's commandments. Fifth, let's be an overcomer and an endurer. Sixth, let's grow in grace and knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Seven, let's be a person of prayer. And eight, let's look for and pray for the return of Christ. In 1 Kings 11 and verse 44, this is written about the conclusion of Solomon's life. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that Solomon did, all of his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem was 40 years. You may be able to find it, but I have not been able to find a scripture anywhere where Solomon repented. Where Solomon repented. It is said that Solomon wrote the songs of Solomon during his early life. He wrote the Proverbs during the middle of his life. And he wrote Ecclesiastes during his old age. And Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, Solomon makes this conclusion of life that it's all vanity. It's all vanity. And in 12, verse 12, Ecclesiastes 12, 12, Solomon concludes it this way. And further, my son, be admonished by these of the making of books. There's no end. The making of books, there's no end. Much study is just wearisome to the soul. But let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. To keep God's commandments and to fear God. This is man's all. Or better to render that, to fear God and to keep God's commandments is the total man. The total man. And so, brethren, we don't know whether Solomon will be in the family of God. I hope that the words that I've said to you today, brethren, will help us to strive even more to be in God's family. So, brethren, I hope that you have a good rest of the Sabbath.